But we had the wedding the other day. It was a beautiful time. I had a wonderful time. Obviously, I was kind of going through emotions. And so there was, I think, three or four tables of the church there. Praise God. It was wonderful. And so I walked by one. I said, come on, we got a seat here. I walked by that one. Come on, I got a seat here. I walked by that one. Come on, I got a seat here. And I said, whoever I sit with, the others are going to be offended. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Oh, well, you say, no, no, no. But, and, wait a minute. I invited him first. How come he didn't sit there? Or I invited him last. How come he didn't sit there? The point I'm trying to make is this. There is no favoritism in the kingdom of God. Amen? And I don't want to make an appearance of favoritism. If you think that Jesus is more favored with me or with somebody else in here, you're absolutely wrong. You're all just as important to him as the other one. And the Holy Spirit of God isn't saying to one, I'm going to go with that one, and I'll use that one, or I'll be with that one, or I'll heal that one, or I'll deliver that one, but I'm not going to do it for them. Never is. He's an, what do they call, equal opportunity, Holy Spirit? Everything is available to all of us. Every one of God's promises are available for all of us. Well, why doesn't everybody see those promises come to pass? Because not everybody is walking by the Spirit. I was meditating. I have a habit of getting in the, I really had so many different ways I wanted to go today, and I was thinking about it, and I asked the Lord about, you know, being walking in the Spirit. And he said, David, take a picture of this. Take a six-lane highway, freshly paved, striped, all that, and no traffic, and it's open to you to travel on. And then he says, over here, there's a dirt path, and he showed me a path through the woods, very rugged, very rough, holes. Really not very nice path to take. But that's the path that takes you where you want to go. That's a path that's the easiest to follow. You can go faster over here. You can do all the things you want to do over here, all that stuff over here. But that's a little bit rougher, a little bit harder. It takes more concentration. It takes more focus to follow that path because on both sides there's cliffs that fall off in your... He said, which one will you take? I mean, I can see the picture still of that road, that paved road. It's so easy to travel on. And if anybody knows me, I take the easiest route. I do. I'll go any place if I don't have a red light. I hate red lights. Stop signs, I don't mind because I can stop and go quick. Red light, I got to sit and wait. Sometimes there's red lights on that dirt path. That's why you got to have faith and patience. Hallelujah. So then I was meditating on this. I said, okay, Lord, I can see it. I mean, I can see it. Even now, I can see those two pathways. And he reminded me of a thing that happened to me years ago. And it was about... Diane and I were in our boat. This is B.C. before Christ. Amen. And we were up in Tupper Lake, and we were on this river. It's called Racket River up in Tupper Lake. It's about 44-mile waterway between Tupper and Long Lake. It's through the woods. Beautiful. I mean, just gorgeous. No houses back there, nothing. Halfway up, though, there's a rapids. We're in an 18-foot boat, which I had then, and it was a 125-horse motor on it, and we're just zipping along like this. We're having a good old time. And you could go about 22 miles, and you hit the rapids. Well, most of that travel on that river is done by canoe because people can carry their canoe across the rapids. So that day, we're up, Diane and I are in the boat, and we're traveling, and... We're coming back this way, you know, just going along. And then we looked up. If you know anything about the mountains, we looked up, and off way in the distance, I saw a dark cloud. We had lived up there at times. I worked up in Plattsburgh for a while. Not Plattsburgh. Plattsburgh. That's close enough. We lived up there. I worked up there one winter. I knew that if I saw a dark cloud in the distance, as a matter of fact, we were up there on July 4th, and we were camped out on one of the ponds out back, and all of a sudden we saw that dark cloud coming, and we said, what's that? And it kept coming, it kept coming. We didn't pay any attention to it. All of a sudden it came across July 4th, and we were covered in snow. Just came over, just dumped on us. So we're on the river that day, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing that cloud come. I said, we're in trouble. We got to go back. And as we're coming back, we turn around, we go back, and all of a sudden we come by these canoes, probably about four of them, in different spots. And there are kids in there, young people, not kids, but young people. And they're seeing the cloud coming. And they knew the storm was on the horizon. And they didn't want to be out in those canoes when that storm hit. So we put them in our boat and tied the canoe. Then we went by another one, put them in our boat, tied the canoe to the back of that. And we had a string of canoes. We got pictures of it. We got a string of canoes behind us going up the river. And God showed me. He said, Dave, there's a storm coming. Get in the boat. It's time to get in the boat. Guys, there's a storm coming. I believe the storm happens to be, and I'm not talking about these things that we go through. Yes, they are storms. Yes, they are devastating at times. Yes, they are difficult. But the storm I'm talking about is a time of tribulation here on earth that no man has ever seen before. Jesus is coming back for his bride. But there is a storm coming. You don't want to be here. And if at all possible, you don't want your families to be here, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, anybody you care about, now's the time to tell them. Well, they don't want to hear. Jesus never said, find the ones who want to hear. Amen? What if Jesus only found the ones that wanted to hear while he was here, he never would have been taken to the cross. Will you be crucified because of it? Yes, you will. Do it anyways. Don't live your life as if everything's fine and everything's going to be fine at the end of all of this. We don't know when the end comes. Some of us comes earlier. Some of us comes when the rapture happens. We don't know. But either way, be prepared for that moment. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, got quiet. What can I do today? Go in Ephesians 5, 18. Hallelujah. We got all the way to there for that. Ephesians 5, 18. I guess this is the way the Lord's taking us. Father, I again pray that you would open the hearts, that we would have understanding. And we pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to quicken us, to bring us into agreement with your word, and do into obedience to your will. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, let me say this to you. God isn't trying to get to you so that you will do what he tells you to do. He's trying to get to you so that he can bless you. Not just here on this earth, but the eternal blessing that comes through being in his presence. Listen to me. I don't care if he gave you everything you wanted down here, and you missed that, it was a wasted life. But if he gave you nothing down here, and you got that, it was a life worth living. Amen? So don't you make a decision and on God, on what he does here or doesn't do here. He's God. He's sovereign. His will be done. Amen? And there's places and ways that God takes us. We don't always like the path he takes us on. Sometimes it's rough. Sometimes it's bumpy. Sometimes it's a mess. Sometimes it just makes us feel uncomfortable. But he's got it. If you got the Spirit of Christ in you, he's taking you that way for purpose. Now, instead of being disturbed by it, just say, Lord, I don't want to go through this without learning something. Show me why I'm going through what I'm going through. Because if there isn't any peace, any joy in this, he's trying to teach me something. Amen. What brought you to Christ in the first place? Because you needed him. Did it change? No, it didn't change. You still need him. Right? No. What brought you to Christ in the first place? You needed him. Not just for your eternal soul, but also just here. That I know that he's with me always. And I'm not out here alone. I'm not fighting this battle alone. I'm not going through this alone. He's with me. And I need him every day. Amen. And whether I get through this and get into the next, I'm going to need him there. Amen. Amen? I don't want to go from bump to bump to bump to bump. I want to go through this moving by the Spirit. All right. Where am I? 5:18. All right, let's go back up to 15. Why not? Oh, let's go up to 14. Oh, let's go up to 8. Ready? Hallelujah. For you were once darkness. Everybody attest to that? We were all darkness at one time. But now you are light in the Lord. Notice we said in the Lord. So if you... Come on now. Can you have darkness and still be saved? Come on, those who come out Wednesday night, you know. We just said it. He said the eye is a lamp to the body, right? And he said if there's darkness there, how great is that darkness? He didn't say you weren't saved. He just said how great is the darkness? So, can you be saved and still be in darkness to a degree? Not completely. I'm not saying completely. Whatever you haven't given over to Christ, that's darkness. Whatever you have given to him, it's in the light now. Your sickness is exposed because God wants to deal with it. Amen? I told you the story about, you know, my side, right? For those who don't know it, they took out a cancer kidney, right? Well, the morning that this came to light, I was on my way into the service here, and God told me to call up some of the men in the church and to have them bring in some cement blocks, 3 cement blocks, to bring in a pad or a tarp, thank you, a tarp and a sledgehammer. And so I set it right up here. And I put the two blocks this way and one across that way. And I was doing a message on the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. And I said, when you're fighting a battle, you got to go to war. And you can't just take the Word of God and say, yeah, yeah, and then walk away. And I said, you got to take the Word. And I took the sledgehammer and I said, you can't just tap it. You have to demolish it with the Word. And I took it. And I completely demolished that block and the ones with it, turned it into dust. At the end of the service, I went into the men's room, and I was urinating blood. Never had it before. So I said, that's weird. So I went on, and I didn't say anything, and I kept going, and it seemed to get less and less as days went. Then all of a sudden, I did a Wednesday service, and the blood was back in full force. So I said to Diane, I better go to the doctor, see what's going on. Went to the doctor. Doctor said, oh, you probably got a stone. Don't worry about it. You will help pass it. Well, he sent me to a specialist, and the specialist said, you got cancer. Well, the key is this. If I had not done what God told me to do, it would never have been brought to light until it was too late. Come on. How important it is to be led by the Spirit? Yes. I'm telling you, that's exactly the way it happened. When they got in there, the kidney had been encapsulated. It hadn't spread. They took it out, and they didn't need chemo. I didn't need radiation. I didn't need anything. God delivered me out of it. Now, I got a couple of surgeons who messed up my side. And I've come to realize that's my thorn in the side. Always reminds me. Keeps my mind on him. But I like it gone. I tried to get it gone, but it don't go. God says, my grace is sufficient for you, Dave. Don't worry about it. All right. Glory to God. So walk in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is going to convict you, to bring you into a place where you have a willing heart to only do those things that please him. What's acceptable to him. Now, hear me. Again, we can justify our lives by saying, well, God knows I need this, and God knows and doesn't care if I do that, and God is this, and God is that. Be careful what you attribute God to. Don't say he's this and he's that unless it lines up with this. Because as soon as we start doing that, we start following a different God. We've got to follow the one. And how do we know what's acceptable to him? I tell you again, you have the Spirit of God in you. And if we learn to walk by the Spirit, that means we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit. And we have this knowledge of his speaking to us so that we are obedient to his every will. If we would do that, I'm going to tell you something. You may not like this. If you lost this, if they took every Bible out of our hands, if the internet crashed and you couldn't get to a Bible, if there was no possibility of a Bible, you'd still be led by the Spirit. It was a story of the Eskimos up in Alaska, way up. This one of the shamans went out, leaders of the tribe, went out and was doing something out someplace, I don't know, next to a fire that was going out in the community or whatever. He was out there all by himself. And all of a sudden, someone started downloading into him about a Messiah, a Savior who went to the cross. And he received it, and he went back and started telling everybody else about it. Years later, a missionary showed up in that village, bringing the Bible, and said, I want to tell you about the Messiah. Oh, we already know about him. You understand? They already knew. Now, the early church didn't have these things. Some of them were getting the letters finally coming. What were they doing? They were being led by the Spirit of God. And as they were led by the Spirit of God, God started revealing through how? Confirming his word with signs and wonders and miracles. People getting healed, set free, delivered. Thousands getting saved in one day. Why? Because they were being led by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Do you imagine what this church could do? And I'm not talking about bringing people into the church. I'm talking about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's so many people out there. I'm going to tell you, there's tons of people out there right now in churches who want just a little bit of the knowledge you've got. You understand? There's not a lot of places where they talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, about walking in the Spirit. They're not talking that. You've been given such a wonderful blessing. You have been given knowledge. You have been given power that's available to everyone who came to Christ, but very few of them walk in it, and very few even acknowledge it. But you, everyone in this place who's been here for any length of time, have given the ability, the knowledge, and the power to be a light in this world. In the end of all things, my friend, like I said earlier, it won't matter what you have down here. It comes, it goes. It only matters what you're doing for him. Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you doing what God called you to do? Are you? And that's what the Holy Spirit came to do. Listen, let me go on. What is acceptable to the Lord? And first, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But in all things that are exposed are made manifest by light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Glory to God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Remember what I've told you. You don't have to sit under the word 24/7. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do any of these things. But every minute you miss an opportunity to be in the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, to walk by the Spirit, is time you'll never get back. You can't look and say, I wish I had done this. And I'm going to tell you, let it go. If your choice now is to walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to do as God instructs you to do, let the past go and say, Lord, today, I have made my choice today. Life or death, he says, you choose. I choose life. And the life is the light of men. When you walk in the life and the power of God, others see it, others experience it, and others will know it because you'll share the good news with them. Amen? I mean, you are a mighty, mighty army of valor. If you could see the Spirit that's in each one of us, you would be amazed. Outwardly, we see these things getting older and falling apart. Some of us still young, praise God, thank you. But the bodies don't always look that pretty and that perfect. But if you could look at the Spirit of man that's been saved by the glorious presence of his Holy Spirit working in us, if you could see the same Spirit that's washed in the cleansing blood of the Lamb, because all this out here, that's all because of sin. The failure of the body is because of sin. You understand that, right? You're getting older because of sin. You were never created to get old. You were created to live eternally. Eternally youthful. Eternally strong. Eternally capable to do anything God instructs you to do. So if you could look into this and rip this open, you would see a glorious being of light. You ever watch that, No. That's a good one, though, but no. I think they went from good to bad, though. I think that. We don't want to go from good to bad, no. No. The aliens remember they came down, they had the swimming pool, and they put the pods in Cocoon, thank you. And Cocoon, you see that movie? Many years ago, right? But at the end of Cocoon, what happened? They took off the outer shell, and there was beings of light inside. That's what you're like. You are pure, and I do mean pure light. The problem is, the mind is still partially in darkness. We haven't renewed our mind to the fullness of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you can get your mind, your soul, as much light as you can get up there, and if you get that to agree with the light that's in here, all things are possible. But a double-minded man shall never receive the Lord. One who doubts is like the wave of an ocean. In and out, in and out. But there's a, come on now. You understand, you are more than who you see in the mirror. Now pray and ask God to open your eyes to these facts. We're worshiping again today. And yeah, I just love the way God speaks. He said, Dave, I'm restoring all things. He said that to me. I'm restoring. I said, I know, Lord. I know. It's Him. You understand, this world is passing away. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Not because it's we're better than them or anything. No. Because they reject the light. And the darkness and gross darkness is over the earth and over the people of the earth. Because they reject the light. What separates us from them? They're in darkness. We're in light. That doesn't make us better than them. Amen? It doesn't make us better. It just makes that the truth. I am the light. This outside body and this mind is still, in some ways, operating out of the darkness of the old nature instead of walking in the fullness of the light of the new created being that I truly am. How far can I go? How far do you want to go? That's the question. Not how far can you go. How far do you want to go? How much are you willing? How hungry are you? How much do you desire? Because God will not force Himself on any of us. But He'll give you all that you ask for. Look what He says here. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Be filled with the Spirit. Well, I've been filled. Well, that translation actually means, in the Greek, keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. In other words, being filled is, yes, praise God, if you weren't filled with the Spirit, you're not saved. But you're leaking. There's some cracks. And as you're marching through life, you're leaving a trail behind you. You need to continually be filled with the Spirit. Not just once. Matter of fact, just like anything else, if your car, and you use your car, and the gas is going out, if you never fill the tank, pretty soon you just sit still. There's some people sitting still because they never got to fill again. They experienced the initial filling, and they got excited about traveling down that road. Oh, man, this is great. How do you know you're on empty or getting empty? You slowed down. You're not excited as you once were. You've got other things on your mind now that are more pressing than Him. You left that first love to join yourself to something else. So we got to keep on being filled. Well, how do I get filled again? How do I do that? I asked the Lord that. Okay, Lord, what would you have me tell him? He said, number one, Ephesians 4. No, excuse me, James 4, not Ephesians 4. James 4. Listen to this. Verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have Because you ask not, or you don't ask. The first thing you have to know is there's a battle going on between the soul and the spirit. There's a war going on. As much as you can read the Word, and I know people read the Word quite often and still are not walking by the Spirit. They're led by their flesh and their pleasures and their desires, and there's a war that goes on. So what's the first thing we need to do? Ask Him. Ask Him for the mind of Christ. Ask Him to help you walk in the Spirit. Ask Him to continue to fill you with His great and mighty Spirit. Ask Him. You have not because you ask not. Ask. This isn't difficult. Well, what if he says no? What kind of father would it be if you ask for His Holy Spirit to fill you and He gives you a stone? What kind of father would He be? Nothing. No. If you ask Him, is it His will that you be filled? Yes. It says it right here. So if you're not filled, and you seem as though all that excitement and all that forward momentum has slowed down, Father, I need a fresh anointing, a fresh infilling of Your Spirit. I thank You for it right now. Amen? Ask. Hallelujah. What else do you need to do? Matthew 6. Hallelujah. Matthew 6. We're going into verse 33. And if you go back in those scriptures and you go back up there, you find that all the things that draw us away from Him, He was warning us and telling us the things that are going to draw you away are the things that are necessary to live down here in this world. Those are the things that are going to draw you away. But He said, listen, that's what the world is looking for. Don't you know that your Father knows what you need? Do you think that your Heavenly Father is not paying attention to your life? When He knows every hair on your head that falls out, He knows everything that's going on in your life. And you think He doesn't care about you? What kind of God is that? I wouldn't serve Him. So He's telling him, look, don't worry about that stuff. I'll take care of that. Here's what you need to do. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the first thing we do is ask. The second thing is said, seek first the kingdom of God. That word seek means to strive after. Not look around and say, where's the kingdom? The kingdom is not something you see outwardly, although it manifests outwardly. The kingdom of God is in you. It's joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So what he's saying, strive after the kingdom of God. How do we get after the kingdom of God? Understand what the kingdom is. You ready? Kingdom. Amen? I could go this way. There's a king, dummy. But I'm not going there. Here's what the king is all about. The kingdom. There is a king. And he wants to have dominion over your life. Kingdom. Unless you allow him to be king over your life, you will not continually be filled with the Spirit of God. He's not only Lord who saved us. He's called Master. And he said, if you love me, you will do all that I command you to do. He isn't saying that this is an order for you. He's saying, because you love me, you will automatically do as I command you to do. And he said, my orders aren't that bit bad. They're not that difficult. They're not hard. But sometimes they go contrary to your will. Because sometimes we're following the darkness rather than the light. We're following our will instead of His. We're looking to please ourselves rather than what pleases Him. So, I said to the Lord, I said, because looking at, there's only three things I've got. And He said, I said, well, Lord, what about grace and mercy and all this? He said, when you strive after the kingdom of God, I give you the grace to fulfill it and the mercy when you mess up. It comes with the kingdom. It comes with the kingdom. But when you're looking for grace and mercy outside of the kingdom, there isn't any out there. Well, what about those who aren't saved? Isn't there grace and mercy for them? Yes, there is. But you know who brings that to them? You guys. Because every time you bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, you're extending grace and mercy to them. Who do you think else does it? I guarantee just about everybody in this place who got saved because somebody extended grace and mercy to them through the word of God that gave to them. Doesn't matter whether it's on the TV or the radio or the internet or somebody face to face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Look at Romans 2. What's the third thing? Here's the one that we all, in some ways or other, trip up. I'm going to read Romans 2. I'm running a little. Give me a couple more minutes here. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you not think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of the goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to the church? Was this letter written to the church? Whoa. Man, I thought he was talking to the world out there. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. The third thing, to continually be filled with the Spirit of God, is obedience. Obedience. So the first thing, ask. He said, ask and you shall receive. The second thing is to seek the kingdom of God. Let him be master of your life. And the third thing is obedience. Now he knows this, that you're not capable of doing these things without the Spirit of God. Amen? You won't do these things without operating out of the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God who continues. Remember what I said to you before? I said last week, I think, or the week before? I said, what draws us to Him? the Spirit. He said, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. The only way you draw close to him is by the Spirit. You can't do it in the flesh. No flesh will live in his presence. Along with this, I was again meditating on this and praying about it. And I saw that God showed me. He said, Dave, you remember what I told you about divine connection brings divine order, brings divine purpose, which brings divine glory, which brings divine praise. He said, the first thing is divine connection. How do you keep that divine connection? By the Spirit of God. Jesus left this earth. He sent back the Comforter, the Helper. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. In other words, what he was saying is, there's going to be a divine connection for those who have the Spirit of God in them and walk by the Spirit. If you will walk by the Spirit, God will order your footsteps. Remember I said divine order? He'll lead you down the path to eternal life, but not only eternal life, for a glorious life here. We can go the rest of our lives down here, how long we've got, whether he comes back in the rapture and takes us out of here, or whether we go by the grave. We can live, I don't know how many days I've got, or hours, or seconds, or minutes, or months, or years, or whatever the Lord has ordained for me. But if I do not fulfill my purpose here on earth, this life was a wasted life. It was wasted. Because when I go the way of the grave, I'll remember not what I did here, only what I could have had there. Being led by the Spirit is more than just talking, going to church. A lot of people go to churches, are still going to hell. A lot of people are still going to churches, are still filled with darkness. But not you. You're filled with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. Amen. Now we got to get our minds trained, our souls renewed to the truth of the gospel so that the light can invade there. And when you walk in that light, the power of God is released. And your brothers and sisters have been suffering. You are able to help them get delivered from that suffering. God wants you, every one of us in this place, to fulfill your purpose on earth. Amen? Now, does that mean, and I had one person say to me, well, how do you know that my divine purpose isn't just to take care of my kids? Because the word says even the pagans will do that. Even the non-believers take care of their kids. Amen? They love their families. They love their wives and their husbands and their children. Of course they do. They want the best for them. Of course they do. Just like we do. But our idea of best and their idea of best is different. I always believed, and I've said this over and over, you want to leave an inheritance for your children? Teach them how to live by faith. You can leave them a lot of money, and in 6 months it's all gone. Then what do they have? If they learn to live by faith, they've got the rest of their lives here on earth to see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob provide for their life and use them mightily for whatever purpose he has for their life. Amen? You are filled with light. Start walking as you are. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Give you praise and glory. We thank you, Father. And we ask right now, Lord, fill us again afresh with your Holy Spirit. A fresh infilling. Lord, we just open up to him right now. Say, come, Holy Spirit, fill us. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, for forgiveness, for not allowing Jesus to be Lord of our lives. We ask for forgiveness, Father, and we acknowledge he is our Lord, our Master. Not only our Savior, but he is our God. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord God, by the grace of God and the mercies of God, that we will obey your every command. Help us, Father, in our weakness. Give us strength, Father. Thank you again for a fresh infilling of your gracious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. You coming up? We're going to take up our offering. We got something special today. Don't you take up the offering, but something new, something. We want all the gifts in the church to be used. Amen? Got it? So after Kenny gets finished with speaking, then as they take up the offering, amen? Well, it all depends how hungry y'all are.
Well, good morning, church.
Amen.
Yeah, like the pastor said, you know, we are the body of Christ. That's amazing. But we've come now to honor God with our giving, our tithes and offerings. Dan, you can start right now, I guess.
No, hold on. You do yours, then they do theirs, and that at the same time the worship's going on while they're doing that.
Oh. But anyway.
Something new.
The tithing is the Lord's. You know, that they were tithing Melchizedek. Abraham was tithing way before the Mosaic Law. And the Lord says the tithe is his, you know, in Malachi. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he accuses people of robbing him if we don't give him his tithes. 10%. And I definitely believe God doesn't need our money. But if we can constantly give 10% of all of our increase, we won't hold on to it. We'll realize that he is our supply, not us. If we think we're our own supply, we will hold on. We will hold on very tight. But also in Ecclesiastes 11:4, this is talking about offerings. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap.
Amen.
Now, if you want to start to give and give offerings or alms, whatever it is, and you're going to wait until you get more money, you're never going to do it. When you're lacking is the right time to give. We have to sow up treasures in heaven. And how do we do that? We obey God by giving. We give, he'll bless us 30, 60 to 100 times. I believe that's not there if we don't tithe. I think tithing is a key. If we rob God, he can't bless us. He can't bless 30, 60, 100 times. But these are the secrets. You know, these are the true secrets of the kingdom. And they're for our benefit. God doesn't need our money. You know, we don't like to forgive our enemies. But God says, forgive your enemies. You want to walk in peace, you better do it. Because you're not going to get peace unless you do it. We're not going to live abundantly unless we obey God's few simple instructions. There's not many, but they are really good. Once we're free, we're free. But anyways, all right, so now we will take up the tithes and offerings.
Amen.
Oh. Father, we do thank you for the ability, Lord, that you increase us constantly. Father, and help us to give and to realize that the tithe is yours. And Father, help us to give. God, we want to live with a free giving heart, Lord, to be free of that bondage of greed. And Father, we will give you all the honor and glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are always there. Let me feel the pain.
15 years. Not really, but we'll just pretend you did.
Hello, everybody.
I'm Alyssa.
This week we served three people at the food pantry, and today in Sunday school was a bit overwhelming.